Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. Good to see you again this week, or hear you this week.
Yeah.
I can't believe how time goes by. Yeah.
Across the channel, if you will, from Maui to Oahu.
Hey, and I want to congratulate you. You had a neat promotion this past weekend, huh, in Maui.
Yeah. Yeah, Saturday was the Maury Challenge, and the Maury Aikeika Challenge, and it was the, been something we've been promoting and working on for many months with some guys here, and we had Tom Maury on our show here a couple of weeks ago, the inventor of the Maury Boogie Board, and his son Sol and his buddies put together this Maury Challenge. It's the only event that they've ever allowed like this on Big Beach, which is in McKenna, South Maui. And it turned out to be an amazing success. They had over 2,000 people show up, and that's the biggest event ever on Big Beach.
Wow.
And I think, they had over 7 million social media impressions, which, means Facebook, Twitter. And we contributed to that. We broadcast live on Facebook and Twitter all morning, every, three, four times an hour for, 6 hours. So, we did our part, and it feels good to just, be part of a big effort that was a big success and very family-oriented event. And for pictures and stuff, you can go to Maury Challenge on Facebook. They've got all kinds of pictures, so check those out.
Wow.
A lot of fun.
I love – congratulations. Giving back is awesome, and it was coming – that's wonderful. Wow, what a turnout. So over 7 million on social networking. That's amazing.
That's
awesome.
Pretty cool.
Cool. That's so good.
So, radio continuing.
Yep. Good job. I love what you're doing. That's fantastic. Definitely. You're doing such a great job with all the philanthropy and getting people on. So anybody listening, check out PonoRadio.com. I think you'll be really impressed. And it's all about giving back. And Pono, what does Pono mean, Randy?
Righteous, do the right thing, harmony, balance. We've come up with a slogan that, when you're living Pono, when you are doing the right thing, your life tends to then develop what we call Pono Mojo, which is harmony, balance, and prosperity. And I just really, I believe that. I really do. I know in my times where I'm not living Pono, and I know it in an area or two or three in my life, and I'm stuck. I get this feeling like I'm stuck. Whereas when I'm living Pono and I've kind of broken through and I'm really living what I'm talking, practicing my preaching, kind of thing. You start to get this Pono Mojo thing, the balance and the momentum starts happening, and that's kind of what we saw happen Saturday and continues to happen here on Maui, and a lot of cool people involved in Pono Radio. So. Yeah, it's exciting, and again, it's kind of, something that you had a part in, with the vision way back, and, way back when you kind of asked me about doing a radio show together, and we started doing it, and basically from that, my radio consulting,
business
kind of began, and
it's awesome, and it's all come, it's so cool to see a dream and then see it coming through, you know, and then see all the people that are touched and inspired by it. It's just amazing. It's just wonderful. And the love that comes out of it and the peace, because that's what everybody's looking for, you know. And you mentioned doing the right thing. It's like everybody knows, like, when you're doing the right or the wrong thing in your own life, you know. If it's the right thing, it's easy to know in our own hearts, you know, and what's the right thing and the wrong thing. That's different, what for some people, you know, different things. So it's awesome. So, great. I'm still, my voice is a little hazy here. I've been having with the allergies, I think, and the vog and stuff in the area. Kind of, yeah, and that's not good when you need to speak, is it? So we have to find out how to get around that. But today's show, we're and like, you know, you're going, okay, how do the singers and how do people do that? There's got to be, there's got to be a lot of secrets. I'll have to talk to you about that another time.
Yeah.
So, because I know being in radio, you probably know how to make sure that it still sounds clear. You can still do this and not sound like a frog.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the first half of the show today is for sellers and buyers, for real estate, of course, main reasons that deals fall through, excluding loan denials, okay? So we have a ton of archive listeners that you guys love to download and listen to, I guess, when you're working out or driving or whenever it's convenient for you, which makes sense. But anybody that's listening live today, if you would like to call in, we'd love to hear what you think are some of the main reasons that deals fall through. The number is 347-945-5428. 347-945-5428. And this is the main reasons deals fall through, excluding loan denials. We all know that people can't get the loan or the appraisals might not come in, things like that. But this is in relation to everything but excluding loan denials. So we'll get started with that in a minute. And then, Randy, you go on to the second half. And I feel like I'm being bossy here today. It's my voice is what it is. I know it's my voice.
It's your show. I'm just a co-host. It's your name on the marquee.
No. So on the second half, are we doing, what are we doing on that?
Oh, yeah. Jim Burns is going to join us, or Steve Burns, I'm sorry. And Steve really works with kids and students in high schools in the anti-bullying arena. And so we're going to talk to him about his how he does that in schools and helps with that. So that'll be exciting because we just had Nikšić here on Maui and Oahu, the you know, the guy who, how do you explain him? He's, what's the word I want? I've never really had to explain him because everybody kind of knows who he is. But Nik Vujicic is kind of got, he's the little guy, you know, that's got no arms or legs, and his ministry is life without limbs. And he speaks. He literally speaks all over the world about anti-bullying in schools, and he was in like 10 schools here on Maui in 4 days. And anyway, so, but that's his whole thing.
Wow, that's
anti-bullying.
Could be exciting.
And so Steve Burns is going to continue that conversation.
And it's such a huge topic today. I mean, years ago, somebody would get suspended or it wasn't as strong. Now it just seems to be so much more prevalent. And even bullying, you know, with the social network they're doing in school and then online. Oh, I can't wait to hear this. This will be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great. So we're going to dig right in now on the reasons, some of the reasons that deals fall through and it's not loan denials, whether you're a seller or a buyer. And the top of the list and the main reason, and then we're going to chunk it down and get into different specifics, is communication. Can you imagine? I mean, well, people have communication issues in life all the time, right? Well, it's no different when you're buying or selling a house. And the personalities get involved. You get, you know, just like in meetings and different thing projects people work on, the personalities get involved. There's emotions. The seller has their emotions if it's their house, right? You know, I've sold my own properties over the years, and I know my emotions were a little different, and I started to say, oh, gosh, I can see why, you know, how people feel now when they're selling their homes, you know, because when you're the third party and you're the real estate agent or broker mediating and kind of being the intermediary, it's not the same as when you're in it yourself 100%. So you get the emotions from the seller. You get the emotions from the buyers. Nowadays, with everything and everything out there, so many people think they're buying a brand new house when it's a resale house, it's going to have some issues, you know, and people are wanting mm-hmm. everything to be fixed and everything to be done. So it's a different world nowadays, even though a buyer should definitely know if there's a problem, because you need to know what you're getting into. You shouldn't have surprises, definitely not surprises that were known, you know, that aren't disclosed. So there's a lot of issues involved. But the main thing that happens is communication, and there's a few other items too. And you'd be surprised how you would think somebody's not going to kill that deal over $100, or because I'm mad at that one. You know, oh yeah, they will. You know.
Yeah.
You know,
ego gets involved too, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely It's kind of keeps there's so many, you know, things come up. So the communication's a problem. Some things are just misinterpreted. One person thinks they mean one thing and then they mean something else. That's why everything should be in writing. Even when you do the contract and then you're going to make minor changes, maybe colors of paint, or, you know, somebody's going to throw something in that wasn't in, or they're going to exclude, or and buyer and seller agree on something, everything needs to be in writing. Do an addendum. Don't say, well, that's my friend. I know that person. You know, don't, it's no big deal. They wouldn't care. Do it in writing. And the big thing, I mean, you see with contracts and with proposals or things people are putting together, projects, you know, someone could say, I thought you were going to do it this way. I thought we were going to do it this way. Because of communication, or people forget. But if you can go and pull the paperwork out and go, no, this is what was agreed to in the contract. Was that washer included or not included? No, that washer is the tenant's property. Oh, wait a minute, you know, and the buyer says, no, it's in the contract. And the seller pulls the contract and says, whoops, now they have to buy a washer, right? So there's all these different items that come in, but the most part, most things can be worked out if all parties are communicating. So you have a lot of issues where agents and brokers are involved. Typically, that's better because they can communicate and not have the personal emotions involved. There are times if the agent or broker are, have their own attitudes, which they should never have in the deal, but we can't control things, right, and people are human. Yeah. They can mess it up, too. So sometimes it's better for the buyer and the seller to talk. But it literally comes down to so many times a lack of communication, miscommunication, attitudes. And it's almost like you have to, if you're the seller or you're the buyer, put yourself in the other person's shoes, because otherwise you may get emotional and the deal could be ruined. There's the home inspection is one area where a lot of deals fail because things come up that aren't known, and many times it's not known to the seller either. It could be little items, and they want, the buyers want it fixed, the seller doesn't want to fix it. Nobody's kind of meeting it in the middle, and the deal falls apart. When it didn't need to fall apart, when you look at, you know, so many scenarios where somebody could throw 500 in or 200 in or get this fixed or, you know, negotiate and make it a win-win, they say, I'm not fixing anything. You either take it or leave it. I gave you a good price on this house. I'm not going doing anything else, you know. And it's like, wait a minute, the buyer's going, but I didn't know about these items. I don't want to pay that price if now I have to put a few more $1,000 out of my pocket. And the type of scenario sounds so simple, but I can't tell you. I mean, it's not if people aren't willing to work together. So I've been when I'm in deals, and I'm not toting my own horn, but I'm really always was really good and good at keeping that deal together that way, understanding that issue with communication. So we keep everybody happy, you know, and make it a win-win and not let all that get involved. So, you know, I have a seller who's saying, you know, a buyer is saying on a disclosure, I need more of this, I have this question, and then the seller's like, we're doing everything we can. They want to get out, let them out right now. And if I had the two of them talk together in that scenario, they'd both probably start arguing and kill the deal. I'm able to say to the seller, hey, this is pretty common, and let's work through this, and I understand you're emotional because you're backed up and you're under stress, you know, or these things are happening, and I totally get where you're coming from. I also get where the buyers are coming from because they're just having questions, you know. So that scenario, if the two of them talk, could kill a deal. See how it's just so many different scenarios that come up. And, for example, also keeping track of the dates in a contract is imperative, because if you run out of the date and the contract expires, the buyer can cancel, or sometimes the seller can cancel, depending on, you know, what the contract states. And there's issues that that can come up. So what happens is we may think, well, if a buyer really wants to get out, let them cancel. I don't care. Well, you do care, and it can hurt the deal if you're the seller badly and you don't want the buyer to cancel. Mm-hmm. Or the buyer might say, well, if the seller doesn't want to sell, I don't care, but they are going to care, especially if you've already applied for your loan and paid for the appraisal and the home inspection and put monies out of your pocket and made arrangements to move, et cetera, et cetera. You are going to care. We forget that nowadays, even with, especially with social media and friends and contacts, everyone says what they're doing in their business. They always have, but typically maybe someone didn't have as many friends or as many people out there speaking to it. I just sold my house. I'm buying a house. Oh, you did? What kind of house are you buying? This, oh, my gosh, my friend lives three doors down, and they've got the exact same house, and they'll sell to you for $25,000 cheaper.
Yeah.
Things, right? Or, you know, I'm selling my house. Oh, my gosh, this one will buy it. My son needs a house, and they'll buy it, and you don't have to worry about the agents and all that. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to save so much money, right? See, all these things happen, and so people that maybe went into it honestly are going, wow, is there a way I can get out of my deal? Can I get out of my contract?
Mm-hmm.
Either or.
Yeah.
You know? So if the dates have been expired because, oh, that's all right, you know, we know this date was due 3 days ago and whatever, and the date's expired and they take it to an attorney and they go, can I get out of this contract without any ramifications? Mm-hmm. Okay, did this happen? Homeowners Association docs, that's a big one. The attorney's going to say, did you receive your docs yet? Well, no. Okay, you've got it out. You can get your deposit back. You don't have to do it. You're done. You're fine.
Wow.
A lot of owners in different places, depending on where you are in the country, we're talking about the U.S. here, and the associations charge a lot. In Hawaii, they might charge $500 for a package, which sometimes $450, $500, and they're sending you an email link. It's just ridiculous. It's definitely a moneymaker, and I've never agreed with it. Some places are going to – some are going to be less, but they're still, you know, maybe $100, $200. Well, you'd be amazed at some of the sellers that go, I don't want to spend that money yet until I know the loan's approved or I know I'm really selling, da-da-da-da. And the answer from us is you need to do it up front because you want to get every contingency out of the way so they can't cancel, right? And so that's another issue that comes up because the first thing the lawyer is going to say, did you get this? Did you get your disclosures? Did you sign off on this? Sellers trying to get out of it are going to say, okay, is the buyer's loan approved in the time? Did they put up the deposits they were supposed to put up? Did they do everything in a timely fashion? Does it state there that the seller can cancel? So this is the real world, you know? And so you can see where you could go into something, you're so happy, you know, everybody's happy, you're moving forward, and due to communication or letting the dates go out, you know, and it's all, you can see where things can just totally fall apart from where somebody went into it, both parties with good intentions. So,
You must really, given your, you know, experience over the years, and I know we've talked about contracts on projects and, you know, you've always reiterated, doesn't matter if they're friends, doesn't matter, you know, you go into, I'm guessing, knowing, essentially, I mean, expecting there to be, you know, human dynamics, and that's why the contract is so important. Those dynamics will be there, and some things will go upside down at some point somehow, or at least a miscommunication, if not upside down, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Great point. And from being in the industry over 29 years, it's just like it's in my blood. You know, I can't stand to not, you know, when people just are loosey-goosey about it, it's not a good thing because it can create a lot of problems that later in the future you're going to go, oh, my gosh, I wish I wouldn't have done that, you know? I mean, I wish I wouldn't have signed that. Oh. So that is where, and you just brought it to a good point, of getting the contract really worked out properly up front. Seller wants to sell, buyer wants to buy. Both parties are much more negotiable at that point, right? Rather than when the contract's already signed and there's an issue later and they figure they've already got the in, they're much more negotiable up front before it's not an accepted, ratified contract. One item the sellers can do on the home inspections, too, is add, because most of the contracts give people a complete out on a home inspection, they can add additional language in the beginning of the contract stating that if there's anything fixed and we agree to fix it to the buyer's satisfaction with three estimates and da-da-da-da, then the contract stays in force. You know, so in the beginning, there's a lot of things you can do to tighten up the contract. And again, someone might say, why would I want to do that? If somebody doesn't want to buy it, they don't want to buy it. If somebody doesn't want to sell, I don't care. We're not going to go through all that.
Yeah.
You do want to do it right, because what happens, human nature, most people try to do the right thing. Most people. There are people that really could care less.
Yeah.
Most people try to do the right thing. And when you make sure you've had a large amount of deposits in, if buyers have a lot of money in and they could stand to lose it, they're not as likely to back out, right? When a seller has, you know, them in, so in the beginning is when you make it really tight and you try to avert those problems. Okay, if we find out these issues are here or these issues are here, we know this and this and this is wrong with the property. We're only willing to do this, and the buyer says, well, that's fine, you know. So you try to avert those problems in the beginning and definitely keep track of all the dates, because when it's out of contract, that changes the whole dynamics. So, but this all comes down to communication, right, and dot your I's and cross your T's. But really communication, because if the people respect the other one and they want to work together, but you'd be amazed of the emotions that come into play when it's your property or it's something you're buying. Things change. So.
Yeah, well, you're right. And whether it's emotions about money that you've invested, and you know, it could be your life savings into this thing or whatever, or like you said, emotions just on the flip side of it in terms of being the buyer. I'm sorry, the seller. You know, you're. I see it a lot. I watch a lot of those real estate shows, Million Dollar Listing and stuff, and invariably. The seller thinks his house is worth way more than it is.
Usually.
And it's your job, I know, to, you know, bring him back to reality based on, you know, the comps in the neighborhood and all that, right? And but, yeah, so that's an issue, I know, because there's that emotion of the house and the ego among people, because people don't want to be ripped off. They want to be able to brag that they got a great deal. Hey, we got this thrown in and that thrown in, and I grounded them, and like we grinded them, and you know, there's that weird kind of pride.
You know, you hit it on the nail exactly. And there's situations where sometimes the buyer may think automatically the seller was trying to pull something over on them, and really the seller honestly didn't know that something was going to, you know, didn't work properly. It happens constantly,
yeah.
You know, where they really aren't doing anything. They just didn't know, and there's so many different items I could list, but exactly. And
yeah.
Sometimes people, you know, you're right. It's, and that ego gets in, and somebody wants to feel like they're winning, and oh my gosh, it just gets to be where you're going, it's time to retire, when you're in my shoes, you know, but after 29 years, no. But it's definitely keeping everybody at peace. And then you get... Then even the agents start to worry or make an, oh, no, don't do that. Or sometimes an agent wants to make themselves look so good that they will be so anal about something that everybody's already agreed to and everybody's fine. And why are you beating a dead horse? Or, you know, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And they're starting to create, like, question marks in everybody and whoever they're representing, because they're trying to make themselves look good. You see home inspectors a lot. I've seen it over the years. Home inspectors have gotten much better nowadays because it's more regulated. It wasn't regulated years ago, and they've got memberships. It's not regulated in every state, but a lot of them belong to the associations, et cetera. But I've seen situations years back when the windows were perfectly adequate, and they said they weren't. I've seen brand-new systems where they said the relay wasn't quick enough, and then somebody else comes in with it, and it was fine. So, you know, you get a lot of things, and it's all personalities, and it's just so you still want to beware and be careful and dot your I's and do your due diligence and check out your environmental issues and have your inspections and all that. But it's funny how everybody's opinion can kind of stick in there and change the whole dynamics, and it's all the communication. So that's why we wanted to stress today, you know, about how it's communication and miscommunication and attitudes and, like you said, ego.
Not the loan. Yeah, and I, you know, like you say, there is so much. It seems like in some ways the job of a realtor is, you know, you're herding cats, you know, in terms of just, you know, there's all these kind of contingencies and factors that you know, have that real potential. And so I love your approach again. I mean, obviously love people, you know, connect with them, but the old Ronald Reagan trust but verify thing, have everything in writing, you know, just that solves, I know, a lot of challenges. And like you say, when you think you've covered it all, think again, right? Think through.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong here, you know? So an addendum, like if you have a contract, is an addendum that big a deal? I mean, can you just type it on to a contract that you have yourself, or does somebody have to do that?
That's an excellent question. The addendum can just be on one piece of paper, and you just, you know, would put that this addendum is made a part of the contract, and you reference the contract date and the address and the buyer and seller's names, and then all parties need to sign it. So it doesn't have to be, you make it a part of the contract. It can be a one-page addendum. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And it'll supersede, and you know, there's certain wording you want to have written in the addendum, so you want to, you know, but it'll supersede and it'll be made a party attached of the a part of the original contract. So great question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's definitely
cool.
Yeah.
Well, Realty Universal Radio, again, as we say, this first half hour always about real estate. This half hour we've been talking about, you know, ways that a deal can fall through, excluding, of course, the obvious, which is the loan is denied, and Natalie's really shared several scenarios, and it seems like that common thread, again, is communication, and often that communication or lack of it is driven by emotion, by ego, all these other factors, but the bottom line is, you know, get it in writing, and then, you know, feel free to write an addendum and, you know, and everybody signed that as well, and just better to have all of the contingencies covered. And again, realtyuniversal.com, the website, and again, for much, much more information. And if you're a buyer, I'm sorry, if you're a broker, an agent, and you're interested in the Realty Universal membership program there's all kinds of information on that as well at realtyuniversal.com. And we know many of you listen archived around the world, and again, congratulations to Natalie for being a featured show on the Blog Talk Radio Network, over 30 million listeners a month, so that's pretty cool. We're not quite sure how we became that, but we have the ribbon now on the on the page that says featured show, so that's a big deal, and again, a function of us hanging with it and sticking with it through thick and thin, and
Thank you, Randy.
Here every week, and I know there were weeks I didn't want to do it, weeks you didn't want to do it, but we both showed up, and sometimes the show wasn't so great, but it was more a therapy session on air for each of us.
Thank you, Randy.
But that's okay, because it's been a process. And so, again, Realty Universal
Radio. And
that's
real world.
That's real world, absolutely. Life
real
happens.
Stuff,
and
stuff.
Very, very excited. Now, I'm not, due to some technical difficulties here on Maui, the wind's blowing, or they're burning rice or something. I'm not in control of the studio.
We'll get that. I'll do that real quick. We're going to take a 2-minute break. I'll just do that real quick, and then we're going to go to our second half. Anybody that wants to has questions, go to Realty Universal Radio. You can email realtyradio@realtyuniversal.com, or you can go to realtyuniversal.com and post your questions, email, and all as well call. We're getting ready for our second guest, Steve Burns, in just a moment.
Yep.
So we're going to take a break here, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Michael Hyatt, professional blogger and public speaker.
Hi, Steve.
I'm also the chairman of Thomas Nelson Publishers, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and a Sunday school teacher. I often get asked, how do you get it all done? Two words, life plan. Sadly, I've met very few people who have a plan for their life. Most are passive spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. They may plan their careers, the building of a new home, or even a vacation, but it never occurs to them to plan their life. This is why so many people end up discouraged, disillusioned, and wondering what went wrong. The good news is that it doesn't have to be that way. You can live your life on purpose starting today by going to michaelhyatt.com/lifeplan. There's three reasons why you need a life plan. Number one, it will give you clarity about where your life is headed. Number two, it'll keep you in balance when things get crazy. Number three, it'll give you peace of mind knowing that you're addressing those aspects of your life that matter the most. Creating your personal life plan is not so much an ebook as it is a life planning experience. In the book, I'll take you through a visualization exercise that'll give you enormous clarity on what matters most. A five-step program for identifying where you are now and how to get from here to where you want to be. A weekly and quarterly process for keeping your life on plan and moving in the direction of your highest priorities. Two planning templates, a Word document, and a separate Excel document that will make it easier for you to create your plan and keep it up to date. You can't buy creating a personal life plan in a bookstore. You can't even buy it on the internet. There's only one way to get it, by subscribing to my free email newsletter. All you need to do is go to michaelhyatt.com/lifeplan and sign up for my free email updates. I'll then immediately email you the download link to this amazing free resource. Don't wait. You can start the life plan adventure today. Experience the power of living your life on purpose.
Realty Universal Radio on the air everywhere, and we can really say that being internet radio. And again, Randy Zachary, my name. Natalie Mullen, ex-president and founder of Realty Universal. And again, the first half of the show that we've done now for a couple of years is, you know, real estate topics that add value to you, whether you're a buyer, seller, you know, agent, broker, whatever. And then the second half, we really like to talk inspiration, motivation, you know, folks who have really taken it upon themselves to be the change in the world that they seek, and as I think Gandhi used to say. And so Steve Burns joins us, and he is on the phone with us. And Steve, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me on. Pleasure to be here this morning with you.
Welcome.
Yeah, Steve is, you know, works with youth, obviously, he's a sports official. There's so many things he does in the youth, kind of high school and youth arena. He's a John Maxwell, a certified trainer and coach as well, and has done worked in the Youth Max programs and schools. And I really thought I've been wanting to get on somebody who has done that in the, you know, in the wake here of having Nick Vujicic in Hawaii. He was over on Oahu, and then literally was at Aloha Stadium and then several schools, and then came over to Maui and did like 10 schools in 4 days, man. Just that guy is like
wow.
Energizer bunny, and just energy galore. But all these schools, and then he did this sold-out thing at the War Memorial gym here where I think they had 2,000 people outside that couldn't get in, and he went out and actually spoke to those people first and then went back inside and spoke to everybody else. And, you know, and Steve, I know you're familiar with Nick from the Maxwell team and all that, but why don't you, Steve, talk a little bit about, you know, about the Youth Max thing and your kind of experience with youth and why you're doing what you're doing in that arena.
Absolutely. Being part of John Maxwell's team for several years now, he has created such a desire to get leadership and communication into the right hands, into the right people, that one of the best ways of doing it is growing them, growing leaders and getting them in the communication and leadership instilled in them at an early age. And the most effective way of doing that is with the youth of our world. And so he has created a program about a lot of failures that he went through, altruism, anti-bullying, all kinds of situations in that aspect, and to teach them and to give them hope and empower them that they can change, they can be that change, like you quoted Gandhi from earlier, you know, be the change that you want to see. And as we teach these young children or the youth of our day proper and effective leadership and communication skills, that will grow with them. Because there was a generation, there's a big generation gap right now. The millennials, the millennial people,
yeah,
have suffered greatly because we're kind of in a transition going from, you know, the baby boomers to the X gen to the Y gen. Millennials were trying to figure out their place, and, you know, it's kind of reminiscent of, you know, the 60s, peace, love, you know, and do whatever you want. And we're really reaping the repercussions of that in that age range. And so we want to try and make a big concerted effort to get back into teaching proper respect and leadership and communication skills. And so John has created this program called Youth Max. And it's typically 1 week out of the year where all of his certified coaches will kind of band together and make a concerted effort to talk to youth in their area and teach them leadership and communication skills, altruism, talk about anti-bullying, how to be that influential person in your peer group. And it's worked wonders. The first year, I think we spoke to, we had over 100,000 youth that were affected by that. And
wow.
I know specifically I had four different locations where I had spoken at one and then had live feed into a couple of other schools. And from then, it just kind of took off with some contacts and connections that I've had from around the country, different teachers and administrative professionals. They've had me come into their schools and talk to their youth about altruism, about bullying. You noted in my bio a little bit ago, I am a high school referee and a college referee. I like to call myself the most loved man in the world. People either love to see me walk onto the field or they love to see me walk off the field. And I know as a referee I'm very fallible and we make mistakes, but we need to move on from there. And there are lessons in being an official that parlay perfectly into youth. Youth are still growing. They're still learning who they are and what they're about and what they want to do in life, you know. And some make it to 40 or 50 and still haven't figured out what they want to do in life. But what I do is I give them avenues and open things up for them so that they can see the different possibilities. And I teach them as an official that, okay, whoop, all right, we made a mistake. You know, grandma in the top row in the stands saw that mistake and I made it. I have to have enough composure to move on and forget about that because the next play is coming. Just like youth. Man, we get to a certain age. I remember being 9 years old. I was bullied when I was a kid. I was a little squirt. I was tiny. I was, you know, 2 foot nothing, you know, 30 pounds wet. I was 5'2 as a freshman in high school. So I was always picked on. I was the runt of the litter. And it taught me a very valuable lesson. And so when I see other kids being bullied, I don't take an aggressive stance on the bullier. I kind of go over and talk to the one being bullied and, you know, help them lift up their head. And then I'll go over and talk to the bullier and find out what's going on. Hey, why are you doing this? Why do you think you need to put somebody else down? And then we go into a whole big discourse or conversation about how to help other people. And you get further by helping people than you do by minimizing people. And John really opened that up to me. And
hey, Steve. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. We got a little bit of a delay on this Blog Talk Radio, so I apologize for kind of talking over you a little bit. I wonder. You've mentioned the word altruism a couple of times. Could you kind of explain that for folks?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm not exactly sure of the exact definition, you know, that Webster describes it. But for me, it's giving people a hand up, promoting people, giving them the encouragement to succeed at things, helping them with their, you know, visible deficiencies, whatever it is, and then just helping them grow through that.
Awesome.
Okay. So that's what it is. It's being willing to, being willing to help people, which then leads into, of course, the anti-bullying, like you said, all those topics kind of relate. So walk us through an event or a series of events at a school. Now, you guys, you may book yourself, you may get booked to do like a high school assembly, right?
Yes.
So is there then around that, do you work on kind of a team of students that, you know, work with you, I mean, with the kids after you're gone? Is there a follow-up? Kind of walk us through the process of the Youth Max program.
Yeah, that's a fantastic opportunity to go right into Youth Max. We do assemblies like that at schools. Primarily, I work more with the upperclassmen in a high school, the juniors and seniors, because they're right there at that age where they have a pretty good idea of what they want to do, or they're right on that bridge of getting out into the real world. So that's where a lot of learning and understanding really hits home, and they really start to understand and acquire that. You know, elementary school, junior high kids, not so much, but it's always good to talk to them so that they can continue to think about it. Excuse me. But the juniors and seniors I talk with, and Youth Max has created a program for high schools so that as a freshman you can learn one skill. As a sophomore you can learn a second skill. Junior and senior you can learn third and fourth skill.
Oh,
so
that's
that
fantastic.
When you're about, yeah, so when you're ready to go out into the real world, if you will, you've got some of this already instilled in you. And you have that big transition from high school to college. And then once you're in college, it kind of starts all over again. You're kind of low man on the totem pole trying to, you know, get a fix on life. And you've got hopefully a whole new sphere of influence. And then once you get out of college, now you're able to influence a lot of people. And with this four-year curriculum that is created through the Youth Max, it helps you instill that confidence in you and learn how to influence others through your experiences.
Wow. I have a quick question. I just want to chime in real fast, but just do you all have like assessment tests as part of this in the beginning with each youth so they can kind of get a feel for their own personal way they do things or not?
You know, and that varies. That's a good question. That varies on a coach by coach basis. And being parents, we all know that every child is different and we've got to address them and treat them and work with them differently than the others. But as you kind of hone in as a coach, you learn what techniques work best with the students. And if you have a teacher working with you hand in hand, boy, what a great resource to be able to work off of them and just say, hey, I want to present this topic to this person, what's the best way to go about it? And then they can jump right in and help you out, which is fantastic because now the students really see that, yep, the teachers have always cared, but, man, they're going the extra effort. And there is somebody else outside of a teacher that really has a lot of vested interest in the value, in adding value into the student to helping them grow and to achieve these skills. I know when I was going through high school, we didn't have that. And it would have been nice to have somebody out there giving us and teaching us these concepts besides the School of Hard Knocks. Youth is, they're so picky and there's so much peer pressure. If you say something wrong to somebody, man, they hold it against you for life.
Mm-hmm.
And we can teach people not to do that and just accept them for, hey, they're growing and changing just like you're growing and changing. Man, what a better world we could have in as far as communication and understanding that, you know what, yeah, maybe he did do something that wasn't quite appropriate, but let's give him the chance to grow and amend for that. And that's what I try to do when I speak with the youth, is I tell them all about my failures because there's so much humor in our own failure, you know, and the kids can relate to that better.
Yeah.
Because then it makes them.
And then to know it's a lifelong process. We're still going to be doing this at 50.
Absolutely, you know. And I teach them, you know, a lot of the blunders that I've made on the football field or on the basketball court. You know, we go through hours and hours and days of training and studying film and on-the-court practice and training in the off-season during summer and fall for basketball that nobody ever sees. Mm-hmm. They never see us doing that. And it's not And they have the perception that we get on the field or we get in that court to screw the other team, if you will. And it's not that way at all. We have no vested interest in the teams that are playing. We want to, our deal is to create a flow for the kids in the game and to have the best possible outcome and minimize the penalties. We get some things wrong sometimes.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And we know that. But we still continue to go to school and class and rules study and talk amongst other officials and say, hey, I had this situation happen. How would you have handled it? And guess what? We get to do that with the youth. They can come to us and say, hey, we just had this happen. How would you handle it? And we can come back as adults and as peers and just say, hey, you know what? In my day, it happened this way. I can see how it's going on with you. But take this road. Take the high road and see what happens. And we get to be those mentors that we didn't have as youth, because back in the 70s and 80s and 60s, we didn't have any of this information at our disposal.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have
people
vested in us as youth. They just forced us to go to school. I mean, back then it was go to school, get good grades so you can get a good education and get a good job. But that doesn't tell you how to handle yourself, how to deal with problems, how to deal with concerns. And so we teach the youth how to be strong enough and confident enough in themselves to handle that and to know that it's okay to go ask for advice to get through situations.
Steve Burns is with us, and again, he's a youth specialist. We can call him, obviously, a speaker, a trainer, a coach with the John Maxwell team, but really has kind of followed his burden, if you will, to specialize in youth. And then I think the unique position of being an official, you know, you are an authority figure, and there is that respect, like with a coach, where I think, you know, some of the guys and probably some of the bulliers that you want to, you know, maybe impact are going to listen because of your position maybe as a referee, if for no other reason that they're going to see it during their season and watch it and be mad or whatever. But what's a website? What's the best website for you or contact place for people to get in touch with you if they want you to come speak maybe at their school or connect with them?
Absolutely. I would love to connect with them, and they can go to johnmaxwellgroup.com/Steve Burns.
Oh, great.
Okay. johnmaxwellgroup.com/Steve Burns. I'm sorry, I'm in a parking lot here, and somebody's car horn is going on.
Randy,
so.
You're so funny.
You can probably hear that. I can't control. Usually I would turn off my mic right now, but...
Oh, we didn't notice it. You're funny.
Maui,
no, it's
Maui
okay.
Is Maui, man. Steve, I'm wondering, you said you specifically deal with... high schoolers, but, I mean, do you find... I mean, honestly, when I think back to junior high, you know, and I was that kid, man. I mean, I was... The good news is when I got in high school and I was weighing 230 pounds... You know, I became an all-county football player, but when I was in seventh grade and weighed, you know, 200, not good, you know. And so right. I was that overweight kid hanging on the, you know, on the pull-up bar going, I can do one, man. Come on, Randy, do one. And so I got, I guess, bullied, if you will. I mean, I got made fun of in terms of, you know, my being overweight. And I just think junior high, man, I mean, have you had – or are there folks who've had much success at the junior high level? And is the approach, how does the approach differ maybe with junior high students? Does it have to be more maybe, I mean, obviously a guy like Nick Vujicic, man, you know, he's kind of parlayed his handicap, if you will, into this, you know, visual aid, essentially, because people are just mesmerized by him and
well,
his presence
talk about
with no arms
away
or legs.
Too, right?
What's that?
Yeah.
I said, talk about
oh,
taking
about no
away
excuse.
Excuses.
Oh,
yeah, no excuse. Exactly.
Yeah, what is
you
your
know,
excuse,
but,
man? But is there with a junior high, man, is there a different approach? Does it have to be a little more in your face with them? I don't know. Is it differ? Or is the curriculum pretty
you
much
know,
the same?
It does differ a little bit. In my experience, the anti-bullying works well with the, you know, sixth graders, seventh graders, eighth graders that are still transitioning because they're still trying to find themselves, and maybe something's going on at home. Maybe, you know, they lack a little confidence, so they have to, you know, bully to make themselves feel better. But if we can talk to them at that age group about bullying and we show them the difference, the negative experience and the positive experience, if they continue to be bullies, we show them and we talk to them and share with them what they could expect throughout their life if they keep that up. And we also show them if they change that strength that they have or that desire to be better than other people, if they lift other people up, how much more it really propels them in their peer group.
Wow.
And we show them that, and we give them hundreds and hundreds of examples, and we teach them how to go through that. And then that way, as they are now getting into high school and moving up through, you know, from underclassmen to upperclassmen, now they're more of an example, right? All the sophomores and freshmen coming in, they see the juniors and seniors, how they're handling and acting with everybody.
Yeah.
And it's very contagious.
Wow. So you're taking their gifts and turning it around and focusing it rather than, teaching them they have gifts.
Absolutely. And we don't demean them. We don't say, you're a bad boy for doing this, you know, and you're, you know, going down the wrong path. We just say, hey, look, what would happen if you took this energy, like you just said, and made it for the good, right? You want to be, you know, spotlighted as somebody who's good and confident in themselves and has their act together. And in light of the bad stuff that goes on, more good can happen when you are that proactive and that positive person. Life is so much cheerier. You know, your outlook, your optimism is so much better. And people will respect you versus demean you.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I've seen it. I've seen it in schools, man. I used to do, back in the day, way back, this will date me, but way back, before most schools had computers, I used to do the jogathons. There was a company in Northern California where this computer guy hired a bunch of us teacher coach types who could do the assemblies and love the kids. And basically we'd go into a school and do jogathons. You know, we'd do the assembly, teachers meeting. We'd do all the data entry. Because we had the computers and frankly schools didn't, we would do all the tabulation and all that. And so I guess my point is I would go into all these schools and you could just tell, like you said, you hit it on the head. When the juniors and seniors, man, or in a junior high group, maybe the eighth or ninth graders, whoever the lead dogs are in a given, subset of grades, when they're on that, when they're kind of intentional about not being, being aware of the bullying thing, and there's just a different attitude, man, a different spirit at the school. And it's just, I've seen it where like you said, K through, say, 12, man, junior high, high school might be in the same kind of area in this small private school, and everybody's getting along. I mean, it's just like, wow. And I know that's a testament to people like you teaching these principles and really investing in these kids' lives.
Yeah. One of the things that we teach is we talk to them and say, okay, who do you emulate in your life, or who in your sphere of influence do you really admire and want to be around? And they always have somebody. And says, okay, now on the other end, who's somebody in your sphere of influence that is always negative and depressing and always complaining and making excuses? And guess what? Everybody has one of those in their sphere of influence too.
Even at that age,
Even at that age. And so we teach the kids, okay, who would you most want to emulate? The negative person or the positive person? And without question, everybody's saying the positive person. I'm like, okay, well then why don't you be that positive person to other people instead of being negative? And you're going to get so much further in life, and you're going to feel so much better and more confident about yourself and the ability to influence people positively than influence them negatively. And then you can see the light bulbs going off and their eyes kind of brighten up. And then they're like, oh, hey, now I've got another, you know, path in life I can do. I've got something else, more hope. And you can start to see them change. Some change immediately. Some want to change, but because of bad habits and old habits, it takes them a little while. But if they stick with it, they still get it. And it's awesome to see that transformation and be a part of that, going from where I've been from to where I'm at, and then being able to help. And I see it a lot on the ball court and on the ball field. Like you said, you can tell who the influencers are and who the troublemakers are. And everybody wants to be around the influencers.
Wow. Mm. And then you don't know what their home lives might be. So, so terrible that it's causing a lot of these issues as well. And wonderful.
And John's also got a book out there called The 360 Degree Leader. And that's more of a professional book, but he teaches people how to lead at whatever position you are in your company, whether you're the new man on the totem pole, the middle management, upper management, a colleague, a competitor, that he just teaches you how to do that. And when we get in there to the youth and start teaching them about being an influencer, now they get to lead their parents. They get to lead their family. They get to teach their family that, hey, how you're acting negatively to me doesn't work anymore. I want the positive. And if you're not going to give me positive, uplifting, influential, proactive stuff, I don't want to have anything in that to do with that. And it really starts to change the dynamics of the family. And then once we get the family all together, then we get the world together, because as the family goes, so goes the world. And I'm a strong advocate of getting these principles into the family and getting them and teaching them these core principles, because we need them. Our families are desperate for the core principles and quality skills. That's something we've been missing since probably the mid-80s when my generation started growing up and said, I ain't going to do that. My parents forced me to do this. I'm not going to force my kids to do that. Now look at what state we're in because of it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. Steve Burns is with us again. And been amazing. The time has flown by. I knew it would. And I can just hear in your voice and in your, in your presentation, man, your commitment to this thing. And I applaud you for what you do with youth and for being a referee, man, because I know that's a whole nother kind of exercise in taking abuse, I guess, in some ways, and loving people in spite of, their shortcomings
I learned
and all
a good
that. But
skill called tolerance with that.
Yeah, really, that's funny.
I can imagine.
Gosh, all
okay,
the,
so
it's John funny, all the...
Oh, go ahead.
No, I didn't want to interrupt.
We had that delay. No, we just had that delay again. We've got to kind of wrap up. Did you have anything else, Natalie, you want to share real quick?
Well, no, I didn't want to cut you off. You just said to go to johnmaxwellgroup.com / Steve Burns.
Yeah,
that's right.
His website.
We've got about a minute and a half left here, and it goes pretty fast, doesn't it? Gosh, thank you so much for coming on. It's just wonderful what you're doing, and for generations to come, how you're affecting the moms and the dads of the future, huh? And it's just great.
Yes, very much so. It's a big passion of mine.
Well, and I love, again, where you talked about how one change with one kid then begins to impact the family. So it's not only the school, community and the kids at the school, but you're talking about the community outside the school. You're talking about a family and then a community at large that begins to change because people start, understanding the importance of not bullying and altruism and all those things that... Now that I know the definition
Absolutely.
Of that.
Yeah.
Awesome,
and
buddy.
I don't think there's anything
wrong
with traditional values. Getting back to respecting the people who have gone before you, your elders, your mom and dad, your neighbor's parents, and talking to them with respect and showing them respect. I get very little on the court. I get, you know, third graders screaming at me that I don't know what the rule is.
Oh, no.
And I just think, okay, wait a minute. If this is a third grader screaming at me, what are the parents teaching the kids or allowing the kids to get away with?
Exactly.
So it's not an overnight change. It'll take a while, but as long as we keep at it and keep fighting the good fight and have plenty of influence from, you know, not only myself, but, you know, good programs like you and John Maxwell out there and all the other John Maxwell coaches, we are going to make an impact.
Absolutely. That's fantastic.
Awesome.
Well, thank you for coming. We're just about ending, and we thank you so much. Hopefully you'll come back again, too. And
it was my pleasure. I look forward to coming back.
Thank you so much.
And everybody
out there, I wish you peace.
Aloha.
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 It's on and I don't hear it. That's funny. Hey, Randy.
Well, I'm just on here.
I did our close in the studio and it's not taking. I don't know why.
Are we still live on air?
Now we are, but we're going to go say bye. I did our close and it just didn't take. I don't know why. Something's wrong with the studio right now. So, to everyone out there, I wish you peace and have a great weekend. Thanks, John. I mean, thanks, Steve.